Hi, and welcome to the Just Riding Along Show.
Hello and welcome to episode 204. Tonight's show is brought to you by bikes!
That was a lame whispering of bikes with the exclamation point.
I was trying to not make it clip. What I really was going for is, I think it's like Tom Segura or someone. It's one of the like fat white guy comedians, like semi-fat. He's got this thing where he's like, bikes! And yeah, anyways, it didn't land. Whatever.
Didn't.
Shut her down.
No, we should just start over and let Kenny pick something out.
Okay, well, I just ripped my headphones out. Let's see. I guess this is where I talk about what I've been doing this week, right?
Sure is.
Historically, yes.
Okay. I'm like 13 years in, I still can't remember what I'm doing. What the what? Did I talk about building a bunch of bikes?
I think so.
I built a bunch of bikes. Then all those bikes went to work, and it's amazing how fast you can fill up a cardboard dumpster when you've built a bunch of bikes. Let's see. Other things that I did. I feel like there's a real zinger. Oh, I've got one. I'm going to save this. We should come back to...
Talk about what you've been doing. Why are you like hemming and hawing?
Because I did not go through my usual show prep because I was driving, because I was running late, because I rode my bike and then I was a little late, and then the people on the road in front of me could not manage to pilot their vehicle at a consistent nor at the speed limit speed.
I mean, it is a speed limit, meaning that is the fastest that you are able to go or allowed to legally go.
Right, but when you drive 12 miles an hour under the speed limit, you then shouldn't magically speed up to the speed limit or a little above in every passing zone.
Oh, yeah, that's probably in Kenny's manifesto somewhere.
Everyone should get, like, a single surface-to-air missile that they can use to just blow up the vehicle in front of them when that happens. Because when I drove home with 13 bikes, you know what I did? I pulled over in what wasn't a slow vehicle passing lane and let all the cars pass me because I could only drive so fast because my truck's kind of small and I was pulling a trailer that was full of a bunch of shit and my truck was full of shit. And
like in Sanford and Son.
I didn't really want to crash like a $4,000 truck with, you know, $30,000 worth of bikes. So, So I'm just a little scattered. So to get back on track, I built a bunch of bikes. They went to the shop. Everything's cool. Work was as normal. It was just pretty warm this week. And then the other thing that happened is, I guess, really the only thing.
Was that a cat outside?
Yes.
We've been having like bobcats. I don't know. I barely heard the one that Matt just heard outside and stopped talking. But the other morning at like 4 a.m., there was a bobcat or two bobcats that were like yowling at each other.
And I didn't wake up that morning, but a couple of mornings before that happened also.
Yeah.
So let's see. The only thing I really have to talk about is I went for a ride yesterday with Andrea. We went out on the e-bikes. Oh, damn. That's one of the, I'll dig into this while Andrea is talking or Kenny's talking, but I rode the Levo again, and then today I went up to BB and I rode with some friends up there, hung out for a bit, went for a bike ride. It was great. And
which bike did you ride?
Rode the Stump Jumper, the Stump Duro, because it's got a 170 Zeb, Stumpy Evo, so 170, 150. That bike just parties. The short cranks are great. 165 is great. Kenny's right. Like usual, for once, whatever, insert whichever you choose there. And then it's just a good bike. I do have a couple of revelations. I'm going to let Andrea talk about our ride, but it was mostly forest road cruising with some kind of gnarly forest roads tossed in just for some exploratory woo-wah. But I am a really big fan of the Zeb. That fork is really, really good. So, to contrast that, I rode the e-bike with the 36 yesterday, and I just don't like that bike. I'm just not a fan of the Levo. It's not for me. There's a couple of things going on, and one I could solve with money, and another I can never solve. So, I'm just it's not the bike for me. I said I was going to look it up, but I am going to just wing it here. I am with 99% certitude that the bottom bracket is higher on the Levo, which would make sense. Or it has less bottom bracket drop because it is a mullet bike. So it makes sense that the bottom bracket doesn't need to be as far between the axles because the rear axle is lower and yada yada. I've always felt very on that bike, not in that bike. So that's one thing. The other thing is I don't really know how to separate all of these things that I'm feeling. I'm just not good enough for that. But I would love to ride that exact bike with a 29 rear wheel adjusted for bottom bracket drop, but there's no flip chips. There's no clearance for a 29. 29 is not going to fit in that bike. So not a possibility. But the other thing, so I think the chainstay should be longer. I think the bottom bracket should have more drop, and I really think it should have a bigger fork. And for those of you that don't know, my always online persona of Beanpole Matt has faded over the last couple of years. I'm now 6'2", 185 to 100 and almost 90 pounds, and I'm just not as small of a human as I used to be. And you add in the extra weight of the e-bike, which comparing my Stumpy to my Levo, which is an additional 25 pounds. So, you know, from my lightest when I was riding like the Rocky Mountain Instinct BC with a 170-36 to riding this bike with the 160-36 and even the Stumpy, you know, I had a Lyric on the last Stumpy. And I had a 36 on this when I got it. Now it has a Zeb on it. The total change is really in the neighborhood of, I'm trying to do math on the fly here, easily 50 to 60 pounds depending on the time, right? Let's just go with 55 for easy math. 36 isn't stiff enough anymore. And I really, really dialed in, like, thought about it a lot yesterday. We had one pretty ripping descent that was, I knew that there was nothing stupid, but I'm trying to think of how to word this. It's so odd if you're not familiar with Colorado gravel roads. Like, some you can drive a Honda Accord at, I'm not going to use a town and country because that's no longer applicable. You can drive a Honda Accord or, you know, a
Toyota Camry.
You can drive a Toyota Camry at 40 miles an hour on them. Like, you just don't care, right? You can drive as fast as you're brave enough to because you're just traction limited. It just happens to be gravel. It's not paved. And then you have some that are, you know, a little bumpier. I would call that a truck road. You can drive any two-wheel drive vehicle down it, no problem. You just need a little bit of clearance. And then the last one that is the broadest is the Jeep road. Like, you don't want to take just a two-wheel drive vehicle on them. And it could be from, you know, just kind of gross, you could probably take a Subaru Crosstrek up there if you wanted to be a Subaru Overlander, to you need a Jeep on 35s or a winch, right? And this road was calm enough. It was definitely in that last category, but it was calm enough that it was like you could really push the suspension on it. And I just feel like that suspension is not working as it should. And I've got it set up plush, and it's all... It passes all my parking lot tests, which I do a good parking lot setup. I'm not even going to be bashful about it. And it's obviously binding because I'm a larger rider, heavier total system these days. And just the big fork in the chunk, like a Zeb or I guess a 38. I've never ridden one, but I assume a 38 would fall into this same, you know, zone. They are direct competitors. And that size of fork is just really good.
I'll be right back. I got a splinter in my hand.
Okay. So, yeah, that's my kind of my thoughts on the Levo and a little bit of suspension philosophy. And then let's see, rode a day up in BV and rode, for those of you that care, I rode Unchained. And much, much to my disappointment, you do need a chain to go down that trail. There's a lot of climbing. I don't care. It was fine. But I did make the joke. So at the top of Unchained, do we take our chain off? And it was a really fun trail, and rode it with some friends, and they rode some stuff that they hadn't ridden a lot, and I rode some stuff I'd never seen, and everybody had a great time. It's a pretty hard trail. but none of it is, I mean, you could definitely wad it up and into yourself if, or, you know, at least need help getting out of there if you did some stuff wrong. But, you know, none of it is stupid, meaning everything that's a drop has a good run out. Every, you know, big slab roll, it's not like it points you right at a tree. I've kind of given my disdain for vitamin B up in BV before, and this is vitamin B light, meaning you can take it easy and there's go-arounds for all the kind of gnarly stuff, or you can push yourself and ride some gnarly stuff. And there's even at least two, if not three or four moves I didn't do today because some of the, like, you're going down the trail and there's like a sign that says, like, it doesn't say send it safely, but it's like shred safely or something like that. And there's a sign that's like green, double black. And even on some of the double black stuff, there's multiple options. And yeah, it's a really fun trail. And what's so fun about it is I really think I could have just as much fun on my Canyon 100-100 with a dropper. I wouldn't ride all of the A-line or black stuff, but it rolls and has a bunch of jank tech where you got to, like, make this little move, or, you know, you can watch tire marks on the ground and you can see that everyone is baited into taking what looks easier but makes a derailleur or pedal pinch point. So you got to ride over this rock to kind of stay out of the trough so you don't get hung up and stuff. And I think it'd be a ripping ride on a short travel bike and a super fun ride to go out with friends and, like, stop and look and session on a big bike. It's a wonderful trail. I wish it was in my backyard. So that's kind of my week, and that's it. Kenny?
All right, let's see. It was surprisingly nice here Saturday and Sunday. I think it was in the, like, mid upper 80s, which is pretty rare this time of the year. It's still been really dry. But yeah, anyway, went out on the moto. Surprise, surprise. Took the Husky out there. I was going to keep exploring in the Uintas, but there was a big forest fire there. So I was told not to risk that because they were closing down roads and all that kind of stuff. So I headed a little bit further south. I went to a place called Skyline Drive. And that goes basically...
Oh, dude, you're right by us.
It goes it goes north to south, and it is in the LaSalle Mountain Range. And I've been there once or twice before, and the section I was on was, like, okay, but it was pretty heavily traveled, and it was, like, pretty blown out. It's all pretty much, like, 9,000 to 11,000 feet. But anyway, I decided to just randomly check that out because a buddy of mine was actually doing a bikepacking trip over there. So... yeah, and I thought, hey, it might be kind of fun if I randomly run into him. That's cool. And if not, then whatever. It's a cool excuse to go to a new place. And yeah, it was really, really freaking cool. Really awesome, like, pretty good paved, twisty roads up to the top, and then it kind of turns to gravel. And I did a 100-mile loop and just took what looked cool on the Garmin, essentially, as I was going. It was really freaking rad. There were sections that were... it's just super scenic up there, and it's a pretty well-kept road. And maybe it's just an anomaly. Maybe they graded it recently. I don't really know. But it was, like, awesome. It was pretty much 50-plus mile-an-hour stuff and awesome sweeping corners. And, you know, definitely had to slow down for some stuff. But I was just ripping. And there was probably 10 to 15-minute sections where I didn't see a single other person with me going 50-plus miles an hour. Which is crazy. Sick. So it was just ripping. Super fun. Found a lot of other really cool roads. I'm going to go explore there again this weekend and go a little bit deeper. And yeah, super cool. Really cool part of Utah. Yeah, way better than I thought. Just incredible views everywhere. There's, like, crazy huge canyons everywhere. Because you're riding this ridge all the way on the top, and you're looking down, like, kind of on a town on one side, and then deeper into the mountains on the other, but huge, awesome canyons, valleys. I don't know what you call them, cricks or hollers. There's maybe some squall up in there, some scree.
A drainage.
Yep, a couple drainages. Definitely saw a couple drainages. Just a neat area. Super fun. The moto was good. I did get a little adventurous towards the end. I took some single track just off of the main road. I just saw it kind of winding down one of these canyons, but unfortunately I got maybe 2 miles in, and there was just a humongous washout. So it was rideable, but the consequences would have been if you lost the bike on the washout, the bike would tumble down, I don't know, a couple hundred feet probably, and you would not get back out because it was like 50% grade. Yeah.
I mean, you would get back out. You just wouldn't get your bike back out.
Yeah, you would probably maybe be okay, and you would walk out, and then you would, I don't know, I guess you would have to chopper. You'd probably have to rent a chopper to lift your bike out, which is, I mean, it's the thing they do. I think it's probably $2,000, and they'll just hook that sucker up.
Damn,
and
I didn't realize that was actually a
drop
thing.
It off the road. Yeah, it happens to snowmobile guys all the time.
Oh yeah,
they'll lose their shit off the side of a mountain, or it explodes, or whatever. And they'll usually, I think they usually leave them until like the next season, and then they'll get them choppered out. That's one option. So anyway, I didn't really want to do that, so I decided to turn around. But it was a fun ride. Super cool area. Did anything else cool happen? It was probably 80 degrees down in that valley, because that valley's probably 6,500 feet. And at the top, it was like 50. And I'm glad I had a vest, because it was actually freaking cold, which is just bizarro. And I had...
That's how elevation works,
it's
Kenny.
Super wild. But like 30 degrees, pretty wild.
Yeah.
And yeah, I went... I kind of started at the bottom, went to the top, rode the top for a while, rode back down, got gas, came back up. Really cool towns over there too. They're doing a decent amount of developing, but they were super cool little towns. They were not like meth towns, but they had cool farms and like really nice little downtown areas and stuff. And there's probably four or five little towns that are all kind of scattered down that valley, and they're all pretty legit. Pretty cool stuff. That's all I got. I've got no cool bicycle stories. Maybe here in the future I'll ride my bike.
Well, I rode with Matt yesterday.
Yeah.
I wanted to... Were you finished, Kenny? I didn't know if that
I'm
was
finished,
like a very...
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was like a nice sly segue or not. But yeah, so I've been... I do a lot of exploring. And I know my area, like my zone here from like Howard to Salida. I know the forest pretty damn well. I'm not going to say I know every little nook and cranny, but I would hazard a guess that I probably know my way around better than most people that live in this area. 99.9, maybe 100%. I don't know. It's pretty high. So I kind of been trying to explore some other places that are a little bit further away, just because, you know, just learning new places. So kind of the way that I start doing that is I'll like stare at maps for a while, and I will, you know, just kind of look, because a lot of times when you look at a map, whether it's some GPS program like Onyx, or if it's just a topographical map that you can look at online, you'll see roads on the map, and you don't know if they're actually roads or not, or if they used to be a road and now they're shut down. Can you drive a car on them? Can you ride a bike on them? Can you hike them? Is it something that used to be a road that now you can't even pass through because it's now covered in, like, I don't know, there was a washout and it's now covered in trees? So, you know, step one is kind of be like, I want to explore this area and see if these four squiggles on the map actually exist as some sort of path in the woods. And that's what Matt and I went and did yesterday. So I kind of picked out an area. So I want to go ride around here and just take a look at these spots and see if there's actually a road or a trail or something there. And that's what we did. So it was fun. Just a little exploring. We went over to Bonanza, which is an old mining kind of ghost town. There are people that live there now, and it was really cool. The ride itself was a lot of fun. It's really pretty up there. Saw some cool places. When we got back in the truck and we were driving out, we had driven through the town of Bonanza up to a trailhead and parked. And on the way back through, we're driving through the town and this thing runs across the road. And at first I think that's a dog with a huge tail. Wow. It was a mountain lion. It was a small mountain lion, probably around 80 to 90 pound mountain lion.
Look, I know they get bigger, but there was nothing small about that. The only thing small was the amount of poo in the passenger seat.
But Matt and I, we said lots of curse words and like lots of what the fucks, because it was like the middle of the day and a mountain lion just ran across the road. And we were just kind of in disbelief, and we tried to look and see where it was in the woods, but couldn't see it because they just kind of disappear once they're in the woods. I mean, it's like the predator in all the predator movies, like how he can like push a button and disappear. That's kind of how mountain lions are. So yeah, we couldn't find it. So we kind of kept rolling, and like there was not far past that, there was a guy out in his yard spray painting a trailer rim or something is what it looked like. And Matt rolls down the window. He's like, "Hey, is it normal that we just saw a mountain lion?" And he's like, "Ah, yeah." He's like, "Was it a big one or a small one?" Sorry. Like, this dude was, I immediately liked this guy because he's like, "Oh, yeah, they've been all over the place. They leave deer parts everywhere." I mean, if not giving a fuck was a person, this guy was that person. He just absolutely was just not impressed at all that we saw this mountain lion in the middle of the day. He's like, "Yeah, they've been leaving deer all over the place. If you turn around and go back up that driveway with the chain on it, you can go up there and see the deer that it's probably eating."
And I was like, "Nah, I'm good."
But so that was cool. And that's the most of a, I've never seen a whole mountain lion. I've seen flashes of parts of mountain lions, but I've never just seen like the whole ass mountain lion. So that was pretty cool. Other than that, the only other thing I've really been doing is we have a building on our property that is, it's just this old shed that the previous owners built, and it's not built very well. And it had basically, if you can imagine, you know, making the frame of a building, just a small building, and then just putting some wood, kind of rough cut wood slats on the outside of it. And those were the walls. Like, there were lots of cracks and openings and lots of mice and squirrels and different critters coming in and out. I think bats were living in there. Because since I've been working on it, yesterday and today, bats have entered the room and flown around and been very confused that there were things happening in there. And I've just had to like leave the room with the door open until they just fly out, which they do eventually. But that's kind of it. My recovery is going pretty well. Riding yesterday, my hand didn't go numb at all. It got a little bit sore, I think, just from like the surgery stuff. I mean, it was cut open 3 weeks ago, so it kind of makes sense that, yeah, it got a little sore riding. But it's weird, it didn't hurt at all until like the last descent that we did. And it was suddenly just kind of like, yeah, we're done now. We're done. It wasn't numb, it was just really achy. And, you know, just working on that building some today, I was using a hammer and a drill, and it's also achy again, so probably ice it a little bit before bed. I took some anti-inflammatories, and overall, you know, other than me just doing more than I should with it, it's going well. Been feeling pretty good lately, and I am jazzed up and ready for elk hunting this September. I'm so ready for September. I can't stand it. Did I talk about working in Leadville? Oh, damn. Yeah, so I went to Leadville. Worked for Rafael, who owns Leadvello BC Casa, and that was a lot of fun. It always is. I like going there and, you know, working on every specialized epic World Cup in town. You know, that's like, I'd say half of the bikes I worked on were that bike, because it's just what everyone uses for Leadville. Kenny, do you sell a lot of those there, or do you not sell a bunch of cross-country bikes?
We sell a lot of cross-country bikes, without a doubt. You're saying World Cups specifically?
Yeah. Yeah, like the World Cup, the kind of like, I don't know, soft tail.
Yeah. We have a decent amount of them for sure, and we sold a decent amount of them. I think the standard Epic and the Epic Evo are more popular here, just because generally it's chunkier. But yeah, for sure, there's plenty of World Cups out there.
Yep. I did get to lay hands on that like 900 and something gram wheel set from Specialized.
Pretty crazy, huh?
It's like, I picked up the front wheel, just the bare wheel. It's like picking up a piece of air. It's just, it's so, there's like nothing to it. Like, you just, I don't know. It's really hard to describe. That's the best description I can come up with, is that it's, if you could imagine picking up a piece of air, that's what it felt like.
It'll be interesting to see how long those wheels last. the rim hoop is in theory lighter than the other one. And the other one was definitely not bulletproof, but decent for an XC wheel set. So the rim hoop, definitely a question mark. And the carbon spoke, same thing. No talent. I don't think I've seen a single broken carbon spoke yet from one of those, but there's not a ton of them out there.
Yeah. Well, and I would assume too that, I don't know, at least the ones that I touched and set up for someone, like the guy was only using them for racing. Like he had just gotten them and he got them to race Leadville, and he's pretty fast. He was like 20 something overall. I don't know. He's like a faster dude. I think he was fifth in his age category for like masters, like fifth masters racer or something. But anyway, a fast guy. And he's like, yeah, I'm a little nervous about these. But I mean, as far as I know, they did fine for him. I mean, he ran like a 7 hour and change time. So I don't think he exploded one out there.
Yeah, it's cool.
One spoke has broken.
What's that?
I know that at least one spoke has broken.
Okay, you've seen one?
I don't know any further. I heard about one, meaning the week before Leadville, someone called us.
Got it.
And I was like, no, I don't have those in stock.
I thought that they come with spokes, like when you buy
them. And that's what I told the person. He was calling for a friend.
Oh.
And I was like, you know, that should have came.
So aftermarket for sure, but new bikes, I think they do, but maybe they don't.
I built an Epic non-Evo that came with them, and it did.
Okay, cool.
And I just remember that the rider's father was like, yeah, great. I don't need to order these. That's the only reason I remember it.
Yeah, so, you know, he's not going to ride those all the time, but I wouldn't expect that in that situation, if you only use them for racing, you're probably going to eliminate a lot of the just random like rock kick up and break your spoke kind of things. But that's pretty much it. I'm good. We ready to move on?
Yeah.
Matt's just shopping wheels and tires over here.
I'm not shopping wheels and tires. I'm looking at tires.
Why are you looking at fast tracks?
You know, sometimes you just
sometimes Matt just feels the need to buy a set of tires just to remind himself that he hates those tires.
Which tires?
No, there's no reason.
Oh yeah, and like when you just bought like a gravel bike, like he wanted to buy a gravel bike after he decided that he doesn't need a gravel bike.
See, what had happened was is I got real stoned and I lowballed somebody on eBay, and then the frame arrived broken. So it's just a sign from heaven that I don't need a gravel bike.
Mm-hmm.
Cool story. We want to talk about new shit.
Yeah, let's do this real quick. Something we haven't done in a long time. Cha-ching, let's pay our wolf tooth tax. They have a really cool raw silver collection, and they just added some road and gravel chain rings to it. I don't know. They make good-looking stuff. As much as I hate to say it, they are becoming less and less, I would say, necessary because good shit's good. And, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty stoked on it that new stuff is just really good.
Oh, I mean like new, like OEM stuff?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Wolf 2 stuff. It's just, you know, that it is a little spendier. And like, if you wanted to just put some, like if you bought a, let's say you buy a new bike and it's kind of bland and you just want to throw $100 chain ring at it to make it look cool, like the Wolf Tooth one's not going to work worse, you know? But unfortunately, I think, I don't want to say their heyday has passed, but, you know, they're just not as necessary as they were 5-8 years ago. Thoughts? Disagreements?
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, if you want something in cool colors, but yeah, if you just need a chain ring.
Yeah, I agree. We don't sell as many as we used to, for sure. There's still weird fringe cases.
Somebody that wants to run a, you know, a certain race face crank with a certain drivetrain, they come in clutch there, you know. If for nothing else, then the race face or whatever catalog really doesn't explain to you what you need, you know? And yeah, I'm a fan of their stuff still. It's just, I don't have a big need for it. Yeah, their dropper lever rips. I despise the one-up lever. I think the one-up lever and the PNW lever are the ugliest levers that have ever been made. And I'll tell you why I don't like them, which is the barrel adjuster, when it's threaded all the way in, is not concealed by the plastic. So as soon as you turn it like a turn and a half, you know, which would normally barely protrude it, it looks like it's about to fall out. And they just look bad for that reason. And I'm such a priss and I don't like it. But in the world of dropper levers, SRAM, have you got to touch the new SRAM dropper lever yet?
No. Is it like a mechanical lever?
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten to touch it.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You touched this a long time ago. I really want one of these. It is essentially...
We have one somewhere.
This is essentially a lever that is a match to the new transmission mechanical stuff. So, fits pretty sleek to the bar, points the cable out in the same way, and it retails for $45.
Do you think they're going to make a mechanical dropper post?
My understanding is they had a lot of feedback from OEs to clean up the cockpit.
To make something that's not going to weigh 500 pounds.
To clean up the cockpit when pairing with a OE mechanical dropper. So, I mean, this is way better than a Trans-X lever or, a PNW, a 1-Up. They're both just something that leaves me extremely underwhelmed when I set them up and look at them. They ride fine. I mean, I'm riding a 1-Up lever on my stump jumper. It came with the bike, and I'm really waiting until I remember to order one of these for myself because I really like the way that this looks, and my favorite thing is it retails for $45. And again, no knock on Wolftooth, but their levers are $70. So a couple of cases that I see at the shop is someone comes in and they have a specialized command post or a specialized spec'd bike, and they want to swap the post. Well, specialized is stuck way back in 2003. Or whatever, and they have the shifter cable head at the lever. So you want to slap a PNW post in there, $200, get rid of your, you know, X-Fusion Manic or whatever post that came with your bike that is the wrong size or doesn't work well anymore or whatever. You need to buy a lever as well. And a $70 Wolftooth lever is just sometimes pretty hard to swallow. And honestly, like, people buy them, but I would be really happy to offer this because it's $45, you know. Hey, you know, it bolts right on, works great, and yeah, I don't know.
Can I continue on with the Wolftooth tax?
Yeah.
I mean, sort of Wolftooth tax. Otso has launched two special edition Wahila C gravel frame sets. Now, they are special because of the paint. And they are pretty much opposite bikes of each other as far as paint. They have raw carbon. Oh my gosh, there's a moth in my hair.
All right, Taco, just freak out about a moth.
It's gone now.
Is it?
It is. It's laying on the floor. I see it. I killed it.
You killed it?
I killed it. All right. So they're like opposites of each other. There is a raw carbon that just has, it's just the carbon frame that they put a clear coat over so you see the layup of the carbon. And the other one is Rainbow Sparkle. And it is...
so hot.
It is like a bass boat at a gay pride parade. It's like, it's amazing. It is, I almost think that if you were riding in bright sunlight at some angles, it might make your eyes uncomfortable.
My eyes hurt.
Might make your eyes hurt. And then they say that the seafoam and maroon colorway is new, but I swear that I've seen this bike in this color before.
You've seen a different bike from them in a similar color.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that they had a Voitech in a similar color at one point.
What color Wahila did they send me to ride around on?
White or black.
Okay. I thought it was a two-color one.
I don't know.
The wheel is really nice. It just, the geometry didn't work for me, which is not a bike problem. It's a body problem. But yeah, so that Rainbow Sparkle is pretty amazing, though. I kind of wonder what the difference in weight is between those two frames, because typically raw carbon frames
are... Well, the difference in price is $100.
Usually a raw carbon frame is a little bit lighter than a painted frame. But other than that, I mean, I think the bike's otherwise the same. They just added a couple of colors that are cool.
And I'm going to pull something up real quick because I remember I had one of these, and I thought it was a pretty stiff bike.
Yeah, it is.
And you're really into the stiff, and I'm not.
Yeah.
How big of a tire does it clear, though?
Oh, it's a 2.1.
Clears a 29?
Yeah, 29 by 2.1 tire.
God, maybe if I actually ever built a gravel bike, that would be the one to do.
It was. It rode very much like a road bike. And it's a stiff bike. It is definitely a race bike. And, you know, it, I mean, at least in this article, they say with some adjustments, you could do bike packing on it. And that's true. But I don't think I would want to ride hundreds of miles on one of those fully loaded. You know, I think that it's more of a bike that's just going to rail turns and hammer and, you know, go when you stand up and hammer on it out of the saddle. And it's made for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. I know now what I did wrong on the one I rode. I think that bike could stand to lose... Where did that measurement go? It could stand to lose about 30 millimeters of seat tube length out of all sizes. I think that's really... That and some drop seat stays would probably make that bike a lot plusher in the saddle, but then still pretty snappy out of the saddle. So,
yeah. You could also put some bigger tires on it. I think I rode it with just your standard whatever... Gravel tires came with it. All right. Kenny, you got any new shit?
I got some new shit. I got some new shit. What about the Norco Revolver 130?
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
The big standout to me is all the build kits look, they look reasonable. People don't really screw up build kits too much these days, I don't think, which is good. The colors are really, really awesome. The purple is super cool.
I feel like as you go down in price, well, I don't know, maybe it's just that third one, the Revolver 120 C2. It's like fucking yellow and black, and that one's kind of ugly.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, I've definitely seen worse, but almost every one of their colorways is perfectly acceptable to me. I would ride any one of those colorways.
Thing with the yellow one is...
I don't like the yellow.
No, hear me out. I bet that yellow is better in person. I don't think yellow photographs well, because any bike that I've ever seen in yellow on the internet and then seen in yellow in person, it's always just nicer, I think is the only way to put it. The only thing that I will say on a couple of the bikes...
It holds six bottles in the main triangle. That's pretty cool.
Or two, right?
Yeah.
I don't like that it's 25 pounds.
What?
I feel like a bike that's a cross-country bike that is a five-digit price tag should weigh fewer than 25 pounds.
Well, what do you think C3, of the new Epic? The C3 is 30.
Evo weighs. Yeah, what do you think a new Epic Evo weighs?
Probably
more than that.
But an Epic Evo is not 20s. Like their full-on cross-country bike.
Well, I guess neither is this, really. That's kind of a down-country-ish bike.
Well, wait, well,
no,
which one are you saying?
This is their bike that they designed for, like, their World Cup. I don't know who races for.
I mean, maybe. I guess so. I mean
so this is the quote.
There's nothing about the Epic Evo that's, like, that gnarly. They just put a 130 fork on it.
Yeah, but hear me out. Like, flight attendant is not light, okay? And this bike is only 11.5. And I know that people at home are probably clutching their pearls right now when I said only 11.5. That XO crank is heavy. That dropper post is heavy. And it has real fucking tires on it. So it's going to weigh 26 pounds.
A Recon race is not a real tire.
A Recon in the front and a Recon race in the back.
Well, I thought it was double Recon
race.
It races.
Doesn't have fucking fast track air light or flex lights on it.
I have a question. Why the fuck does that have an XO crank on it? That doesn't make any sense.
Because it saved them a good bit of money.
I mean, I guess. That's just I said I didn't really have any problems with the build kits. I didn't look super deep into them. I guess they're running... Those zip wheels are probably heavier. That crank is heavy.
No, they're okay.
Well, I know for a fact that you can build a flight attendant Epic to 23 pounds.
Well, yeah. Did it have a dropper?
Oh, yeah.
Did it have a reverb?
Dropper, power meter, SID 120... and just an XXSL transmission build.
It didn't have flight attendant?
Full flight attendant.
What size?
Extra large.
Tires?
Fast tracks.
Wheels?
The carbon Mac Daddies.
Well, there you go. That's why it's so light.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you can build a super light one. So yeah, these weights are a little on the heavy side, and I'm not
No, they're not. I mean, if you compare this directly, okay, so when
the high top wheels are 1375, which is an extremely respectable cross-country wheel set weight.
But the World Cup wheels are 1,000 grams.
And maybe that stem is heavy. Maybe it's got like a goofy bar.
I mean, I can easily cut 2 pounds out of this bike.
With the crank and seat post?
No. If you put those wheels and tires on this bike, like, hear me out, Kenny. If you put those, like, I think I know who you're talking about. So if you took his wheels, his tires, and his dropper, and his crank, and put it on this bike, it would be within a half pound.
I mean, maybe. I'm just guessing, it's a lot of things. I'll bet you money that frame is a half pound heavier, and then they put an aluminum crank on it and wheels that aren't as light as they could be. They just made some strange decision for the nicest one they have. Well, it's just weird to me.
But they're tires that actually work for most riders that are going to go out and rip around on a 120 bike with a dropper. And, I mean, because fast tracks, I know you love them, but a fast track ain't no fucking recon.
No, I agree. But a fast track's a recon race.
Okay. But were those S-Works fast tracks or regulars?
Regulars. Grid rear.
Yeah. I mean, I think you could easily make this bike lighter. And I think if you compared MSRPs, they would end up really close.
I think they probably would.
But Norco doesn't build a $1,000 bike.
Well, they should.
I don't think the Norco rider is a $15,000 bike.
I've also got another. This is a random. We're going off the rails
Hold on. Let me hop in for one other quick thing. This is much more comparable to the one-step down bike from Specialized. Do you know which one I'm talking about? They just released it.
I guess I don't know. I mean, would that normally be the Pro? But it's like something special?
Well, it's a flight attendant bike with XO on it.
Oh, okay.
Let's see. I'm going to pull it up because they do claimed weights on their website. It's the Epic 8 Pro. It's 10.5. And
so $1,000 less.
And let's go ahead and be argumentative. Specialized made all but the RockShox parts on this bike. So they should, with their buying power, they should have the ability.
That's a weird argument. You know, Norco, build some fucking wheels then if you want to be a bitch about it.
They're claiming 23 pounds, 14 ounces.
Hold on. Somebody's lighter.
Somebody's lying.
I'm just...
No, and I say that because I had a customer comparing this and the next one up from last year that didn't have the fancy wheels, and their weight was off by about a half pound.
What crank is on that bike?
XO.
Okay. It looks different.
I know that the XL that I'm talking about 100% weighs 23 pounds. It could even be in the high 22s. I will get back to you on that.
With or without pedals?
Ready to go, ready to ride with pedals.
Okay, cool.
I'm 99% sure that it's like roughly 23 even, maybe 23 and a half pedals, computer, whole nine yards.
And I don't think, well, this bike has a power meter.
Cool.
So, again, I think you could, if you swap the stuff over, I think this is within a half pound and would then be close to that MSRP.
So, I like the bike. I wasn't trashing it, but just the deeper I looked at the build kits, I guess it's kind of cool to see some zip wheels out there. My big takeaway I think the colors are good. I think the bike is simple. It's not doing anything dumb, which I appreciate. It looks like it's got a very normal suspension design. It's probably not going to be a creak machine. These are all just educated guesses. I don't know. Seems like a nice bike.
Man, I want a set of these high top wheels. I like these.
Just buy some and put them on your single speed.
There's a bunch of new gravity stuff. Looks like Jackson.
Real quick.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest one has a 518 reach. Good God. They actually made a big bike. Holy shit. Okay. Now let's talk about Jack. Let's go from talking about how stuff isn't light enough to talking about the new Fox 40 and the Shimano Maven.
Fox 40.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not like super secretive. It says Fox prototype on the side of it, and it's clearly a Fox 40 with a different crown, or different brake arch rather. Yeah,
that's a crown.
It takes cues from their new lineup. I'm sure generative design stuff seems cool. I guess. I wonder if people are going to start hating all those little holes because of dirt and mud and stuff. I don't know.
I wonder if they whistle when you're going real fast.
Could whistle. I wouldn't be surprised.
Like when you. when you're riding down, you know, downhill and you just boost off of something and you're flying through the air for 100 feet, does it make some noise? Like, does the wind whistle?
But maybe they
the
could
air?
Use they it to judge stuff. You know, like dirt bike people, you'd say, oh, yeah, I hit that in third or whatever. So these people could be like, yeah, it was, you know, 1 second into whistle. And that's how fast you got to go.
All right. What about the spy shots of those new Shimano Saint brakes?
They look really chunky.
Can I bring out...
Is there any oil leaking out of them in the spy shots?
Can I bring out an old joke?
Sure.
Instead of looks like a session, looks like a Maven?
It looks... They look a lot like Mavens. I don't disagree with that statement.
I think that's just how big forks have, or brakes need to be.
Yep.
And
possibly a new Maxxis tire.
Dude, if Maxxis ever updates the DHF and DHR to not suck, I will just jizz in my
Those
pants.
Those don't suck.
It's the worst tire.
I think
make.
That they're no, extremely average. I don't hate them. Like, if I ride a bike with them, I'm not upset, but I definitely would never, with my own money, put them on my bike.
Fair. Okay.
I would put, well, there's lots of other stuff I would put on before those, but they're average. They're fine.
Well, if you want to run a DHF on your gravel bike, there's now a company called Number 6 Composites that made a gravel bike fork so you can run a 2.5-inch tire on your gravel bike.
Yeah.
Men will do anything to not ride a hardtail 29er.
It's a strange thing. I guess people will just argue they want drop bars. They want a drop bar mountain bike is what they want.
Then buy that. Those exist.
Yeah,
there's a number of them.
You can absolutely purchase a drop bar mountain bike.
I just don't love drop bars that much. I can tolerate them, but I've just never doing long rides. I'm just fine on a flat bar.
I do like them. I mean, I like them for long rides. Like if I got to do, when I used to do a lot of long rides and high mileage, the drop bar mountain bike was the most comfortable setup that I had because you've got a fork, which is awesome. And then you can have your hands, you know, like knuckles forward. You can have your hands like on the hoods, like a normal, you know, road bike or something. Like it's, I don't know. I just really like it. I think it's really cool. But yeah, like just get a mountain bike and play with the fit and put drop bars on it.
I have a random thought. I don't like stealth routing on SRAM brakes. That's
oh,
it.
Oh, like the pointed up compression nut thing?
Yeah, the thing that like points at your bar, yeah. But yeah, it's really not well, any cleaner, except now it's guaranteed to rattle against shit. I just think it's stupid.
And that is another thing that I'm going for with that dropper lever, is that is one of my complaints, is the, like when you run a stealth brake and then like a old school dropper lever, they don't, the brake line, the front brake line and the dropper lever are like pointing in different wire or pointing in different directions. It's really
annoying. You know what would actually probably be cool? I want a brake where the line comes directly out the front of the bike, like out of the front of the lever. And then it just makes a like perfect, how can I describe that to people? It makes a perfect arc 180 back into the frame and just goes, it points straight out the front of your bike. And then if you take a picture of your bike from a certain angle, you won't even see your brake lines because apparently people think that's cool.
Okay.
All right. Is that all of our new shit we want to talk about?
Sure.
That's all I got.
Oh, no. I got the Maxxis Dissector was updated. That's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. That did look kind of cool. I never really loved that tire.
I never really rode it, but it's updated. So
yeah, it came on my e-bike. It was the rear tire and like it just didn't do anything well. And yeah, I know it's like a big heavy bike that wants to lose traction because it's got a fucking motor on it, but it didn't really brake well or corner well either. I don't know.
It just looks like the new Dissector looks like a ground control, an updated ground control.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the new one fixed all of the stuff that sucked about the old one. That's what the article says, is that it took all the things that people complained about and improved those things, but I don't know. It's really hard to beat an aggressor for a rear tire.
Yep. So, speaking of things that are hard to beat, Edgar Carballo Gonzalez did not beat being a scumbag, and he is banned from UCI racing for a year and immediately dropped on his ass by the old Mondrager team because he's a sex pest and he sexually harassed another racer and he gone. So bye-bye. Take your ass out with the trash. Oh, no, your life's being ruined. Well, maybe you should have thought about that before you were a fucking nasty person.
Is that what the comments are saying on Pink Bike? Is like, why you gotta ruin this guy's life just because he hit on another racer? I'm sure he was just joking.
No, I don't think it was just joking. I don't think
that either, but you know how the Pink Bike comment section is.
I know. And then I have one to talk about as well that's new.
I'll be right back. Keep talking.
The Trek Fuel EX. The new Trek Fuel. More options than you can shake a stick at. Yeah, I'm stealing that right from Bike Rumor. Also, the new Trek Fuel EX. Not good. Or the new Trek Fuel. Comes in three different flavors and doesn't do anything well. Kenny, have you looked into this at all?
Nope, not a Trek Fuel anymore. Haven't seen it.
So, essentially, the Fuel EX, which, let's go in the Wayback Machine. That was a 140-130 bike that I built at 28 pounds with aluminum wheels. That bike was sick. Is now 145-160. Or you can get it in MX, which is mixed wheels, 150-160. Or you can build it in LX, which is 160-170. And I just don't... I am not a fan of this drift that we're seeing in the industry, where now Trek has a 120 bike and a 145 bike, and none of them are light. Like, I'm just kind of frustrated by it. Yeah, and I don't know. Like, I'm not trying to be a stick in the mud or, like, maybe this bike ride's great, but I miss trail bikes. Like, there's not really trail bikes anymore. And maybe I'm wrong, but, like, I don't know. I think that's a bike that we're going to, I think that 5 years from now, we're going to swing back in that direction, and people are going to be like, wow, a 130 bike that's a reasonable weight's really fun. And I don't mean a 130 fork. I mean a 130 rear. So, yeah.
All right. Now we have some listener questions. One of them is like a book. Like, one of them is probably an entire episode.
Okay. Well, let's not do that one. Let's do another one. We need to get a driving rule update from Kenny. I think we're on to 4 or 5 now.
We want to do that before listener.
We can. I mean, we've already gone an hour. We could hold on how to drive a fucking car segment, and we can do it. We can hit it next week.
We had a little bit. I think Matt covered a very important one, is if you're driving on like kind of a road that maybe you're not comfortable with how your car handles in the turns, when you reach a passing zone, don't speed up to or way over the speed limit in that passing zone so that no one who's been patiently waiting behind you while you're negotiating these difficult turns in the road. You should just keep going kind of slow in the right lane in the passing zone and, you know, maybe let those people get around you. That's my how to drive a fucking car. Or else Matt will shoot you with a surface-to-air missile.
No. Allegedly, I wish that everyone was equipped with one.
Okay. All right. So from Anita Bath, is it time to stop referring to Leadville as a mountain bike race?
No.
No, I think, sure, there are some people that ride drop bar bikes, gravel bikes, whatever. Those people don't win.
The two new course records this year were set on full suspension bikes.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a mountain bike race. And sure, it's mostly on things that you would identify as roads. Some of them kind of like what Matt was talking about earlier, where you would not drive a Toyota Camry on them. But yeah, I mean, you should probably have a mountain bike in Leadville.
I mean, when you're one of the most dominant racers, and don't take this the wrong way, if there's some bumfuck race where like some dude shows up and wins on his cross bike or gravel bike, like, sorry, they're just really fast and kooky. Or like, just because somebody shows up to a gravel race and wins on their mountain bike, it doesn't make it a mountain bike race. But when you're Kate Courtney, Payson McKelvin, Payson, what's the guy that won this year's name?
Fuck, I don't know.
Is it Payson McKelvin? I feel like I'm putting two riders together.
I get all those guys mixed up.
Anyways, like, when you look at the people that have every bike at their disposal and they put all this time and money into winning a race that gets them $0 from the race, but probably a good bit of money from their sponsors, and they do it on full suspension bikes. Sure, Payson had a black box aero fork from RockShox and he rode road pedals, but it's just because he didn't have to walk. And, you know, I did it and I did it in a fairly respectable time. 940-ish, 942 or 3.
Keegan Swenson,
right. You know, Keegan had he has every bike from Santa Cruz at his disposal. He didn't ride a highball. He didn't ride a Stigmata. He rode a Blur. And he rode a Blur, not a Blur Trail, right? He rode an XC bike for what would, at these times, you know, I would call it a marathon race, right? He finished in under 6 hours, it's a mountain bike race. Like,
it's not a very technical one, but it is a mountain bike race.
No, and if you look at it, the winning times of what's that race called these days?
And I don't think that we could say that both Keegan Swenson and
Courtney.
I wanted to say Courtney something, but I knew that wasn't right. No one's going to say that Keegan Swenson and Kate Courtney can't ride technical mountain bike race courses, right? So they're real mountain bikers. You know, I don't know, like, how about this? Why don't we try, this is a challenge for you, Anita Bath, find a you know, like, World Cup level triathlete and give them a specialized Epic World Cup that weighs 20 pounds and tell them to go and win Leadville against either Keegan Swenson or Kate Courtney.
Or I want to see a male just beat Kate Courtney. Because she was like 10th or 7th, wasn't she?
I don't remember. I already closed that. But yeah, so let's see if someone who has absolutely no technical mountain bike riding ability at all, who's just all power, can win Leadville. Because as far as I know, everyone who's been winning it is a mountain bike racer.
And just to do a little fun here, because Keegan won Unbound last year, he like tragically or catastrophically flatted out this year. He like shoved a nail through his tire and his rim and all kinds of stuff. Come on, Athlinx. No, he didn't win last year either. Yeah, so Lachlan Morton, I mean, he's a mountain biker. Lachlan Morton won the 200-mile Unbound last year, which is a gravel race, and it is twice the distance, but he averaged 22 miles an hour. They didn't average 20 this year at Leadville. It's not a gravel race. Like, it's just not. So,
all right. Next question, or we can read patrons and shut it down. Which one?
You're the one with the questions.
Well, I know, but usually when I say I'm ready to wrap it up, you're like, no, one more question.
Then wrap it up. I don't know. Do whatever you want. You're an adult.
I am.
Then read
adult.
Another question. I don't know. I told you to wrap it up and you didn't want to, and just read another question then.
All right. We just got one from Midget Money. He says, Kenny, shocked to hear you only dropped the Husky one time. I drop my XCW like 5 times a ride. Regardless, recommend the Liat dual axis knee pads. Super lightweight, barely even feel them, and will save your knees and shins. I forgot them one time and immediately realized how many things I hit and never even know it, due to the protection. Also, I absolutely guarantee you would have 100% more fun on a motorcycle if you got a 300 two-stroke with a real clutch. Matt, you agree. Admit it. It would take a little learning curve, but after a month, you would have it dialed. I know this is a trigger kind of comment, but still 100% true.
Kenny, can I go first?
Yeah, sure.
I don't think Kenny wants to do that type of riding. So, yeah, I dropped my bike like 2 or 3 times within a mile once because it was just fucking hard. And I have no desire to ride on the pavement. I don't enjoy going fast on even good gravel roads. I just feel a little bit out of my element, and I just don't have a lot of seat time at high speeds on two wheels. And I enjoy the slower, harder, you're like not really moving, you're sweating into your eyes and kind of hating yourself stuff more because I feel very comfortable there. And I think Kenny has enough road miles because he's on road bikes for a long time. Or over many years has owned multiple ones. And I just think that that's not what Kenny's into. Kind of like if we talk about it from a mountain biking kind of world, you know, saying like, oh, I guarantee you'll have more fun if you get an enduro bike and go ride gnarly stuff is kind of like, well, I enjoy leaving my house and doing a long XC type ride where I can ride down the pavement and then ride some cool single track that I've never seen and explore some stuff and then hop on the pavement and go grab a snack, i.e. gas in this situation, and then go explore some other stuff and cover a lot of ground and just see new things with, let's call it, a low risk riding style. Am I wrong?
No, I mean, I think that's accurate. The deal is I've got an Ultra B that's fairly titsed out. And if I want to do hard enduro-y type stuff, that's what I'm going to use. Is it the best hard enduro tool? No, like a 300 is going to be the best hard enduro tool. But I don't really ride a whole lot of hard enduro stuff anyway. But if I'm riding ultra techy single track, super steep stuff, hill climbs, all that, I'm probably going to choose the Ultra because I'm just way more comfortable on it. And I do drop it all the time. It's been on the ground a lot. It's been nunchucked off mountains. Like, it's, I don't worry about that. I usually just don't get myself into situations on the 350 where I'm going to do that. I'm doing a lot longer rides, more like exploring type stuff on that motorcycle. And I'm usually by myself. So if I'm, you know, 50 miles away on a 100-mile loop, I really don't want to nunchuck that thing off of a mountain. Just not ideal. And also, it's not that I'm an amazing rider, but like I'm fairly confident on a dirt bike and I just pick my battles. So I just don't crash a lot. I mean, I was that way on the mountain bike. I was an average rider. I just didn't nunchuck my bike off the mountain all the time. I just did the stuff I was comfortable with and that was that. And I crashed very rarely for the most part. And I was doing lots of miles when I was racing and doing all that stuff. I probably touched the ground twice a year. That was it. And it was usually one minor one and then one that was like a little bit worse. That was kind of my MO. I just don't crash my shit a lot. So anyway, that's the deal. I'm just not into the hard enduro stuff on the gas bikes. I've ridden with plenty of people that do that stuff and I know exactly what it's all about. And it's just not really my jam. I can do, you know, we'll call it 80 to 90% of what that stuff is on the Ultra and have a really good time. And I'm just not willing to do the full actual hard enduro stuff because A, I don't have a trials background. B, I don't have a 300 two-stroke. And C, even if I did, I really don't want to nunchuck my 300 two-stroke down the mountain five times a ride and destroy it. I love beating on my shit, but like I'd rather not just completely destroy it. So anyway, full actual hard enduro is just not my jam. It's super fucking cool. I love that stuff. I love following it. You know, I watch all the Billy Bolt stuff and all those characters. I think they're awesome, but that's just not the riding that I do. And then back to the clutch statement, I fully disagree with that. I'm perfectly fine with a clutch. You know, I've got 20 to 30,000 miles on street bikes, untold miles on dirt bikes. I'm fine with it. But when it gets into the ultra, ultra techie shit, and again, I don't have a trials background, I just don't enjoy it. I much more enjoy the Recluse that I have now. And I still ride plenty of techie shit. Like the bike's got 3,000 miles on it and probably only 200 to 300 of those miles are on street. And probably 1,000 miles is on gravel roads. And the other 1,000 plus miles is all single track stuff. Just not hard enduro. And it's a super enjoyable bike. And I can go up fairly techie shit. And it's fine.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't too far off, huh?
No, I don't think you were too far off.
All right. And we'll do our other listener question probably next week because it's a multi-part, multi-paragraph question. And we've been recording for a while.
I'm also going to say to this person, I'm sure you're a good rider, but I would also be willing to bet you probably haven't ridden the latest generation Top Dog Recluse clutch. Because it's unbelievable. And if you want to ride it like a regular clutch, you can still pop it and do all that stuff. So you can have the best of both worlds. How about that?
That's cool. All right. Are we ready to do patrons and wrap it up?
Please, God.
Okay. So our patrons, starting at $10 per month, we've got Zozo, Trouser Pistols, Tom's P, Tom Pickle, Timothy, Ty, Tennessee, Zach, Tennessee Tantrum, Taylor, Zwift, Taper Bore Pro, Skunk in Your Trap, Samuel, Ryan, Ride Time Extended, Noah, My Pal Dal, MTV Shenanigans,
Mike Jones,
Leland, Kurt, Josh, Jim the Fucked Up Trike Guy, JC, Jake D, Green Giant, Gordon, Frank the Tank, Fart Noises, Eric, Chunk Norris, Cam Irish One, Burt Reynolds Mustache, Bill, Bearded Bag O'Dix, Barrel of Dicks, Apple Bottom Make Him Wanna Bite, Angry JRA Forever, AJ, Aaron, _, at $11.11 per month, we've got people who ride inverted forks were just one bad haircut away from becoming CrossFit coaches. Harley at 30, Troy at 31, and Six Pack Outdoors. We're the reason your GoPro footage is now evidence. At Fitty. Kenny, spay and neuter your skews. You don't want them reproducing.
Was that skews like SKUs?
Yeah.
Oh, weird. Okay.
All right, everyone. Are we ready to shut it down?
Shut it down.
Thank you all for listening, and good night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Riding Along show.
There's some shit coming out of your brake pads.